Taste of Country Nights on Demand. It's Evan Paul, your host, and cranking up the season this year. Our first interview is with a mysterious country newcomer that I love, and I love his music and his story. His name is Steven Wilson Jr., and we sat down with him, and it's quite the interview. I urge you to also, when you're done or before, listen to the song called Gary. That's his release to country radio, Steven Wilson Jr. Tell me the story of Gary and who actually inspired the song.
Well, it was inspired and started with a tragedy, really. I was driving down a highway and I saw this memorial billboard on the side of a highway, and it said, in memory of Gary blank blank blank, for their privacy, I won't say their names, but and I had a picture of a young boy that probably was, you know, in high school, maybe 16 years old, and, you know, most likely died on that highway. And it broke my heart to see it, and there was trees growing around it, and it had just like this really strong visual impact on me. And I couldn't help but just say out loud, there ain't a lot of boys named Gary these days. That's literally where it came from, because when I saw that boy, I was like, dang, you don't see like any 16-year-old Garys. And I was like, man, I bet that kid could fix anything. Like, because every Gary I know back home, they're just good at fixing stuff. I don't know why. It kind of comes with the name. And then with that thought, and, you know, it being kind of born out of a tragedy and pain and a great source for any kind of art, you know, I started thinking, you know, because I'm a recovering microbiologist. I used to be a scientist in my life, and research is a big part of my life. And I started thinking about Gary as perhaps a subspecies of human, not just an individual man, but like a species, like an endangered species, as you would say.
That's fair.
Because, you know, we're running out of our Garys. And as, you know, as technology goes where it's going, I feel like it's happy to leave the Garys behind. And I think, you know, right, it's going to be a Gary scary world without them, because when, you know, you need your car fixed or your septic tank blows, or you need really just about, you know, a lot of just the general things that make the world work, you need a metaphorical Gary. Someone that will show up and get it done, because ChatGPT ain't going to do it. They might give you some instructions on how you can do it, but you ain't a Gary. So you're going to just make it worse and probably cost yourself more money. And you're going to have to get a Gary there to fix what you did. And now he's fixing two jobs. So,
hey, man, let me ask you. Oh, God. How are you dealing with the newfound fame?
I'm famous.
You're famous.
Really? I didn't know. I take more pictures.
I had to make an appointment to talk to you, and you're not my doctor. You're famous.
Well, man, I'm sorry about that. I ain't nothing. I take a lot more pictures at the grocery store now. I'll just say that. But I keep a pretty low profile, and I don't, you know, fame's a new thing to our species. Like, it's only been around since like the 50s. So, like, I'm not sure if it's what it is. It's certainly not, you know, anything that's been around for a long time. So I kind of like keep an arm's length with it, because I'm not sure what it really is at this point.
Well, the same, your thought process, the same with time. Does that affect your daily life? How does it affect your daily life, not believing so much in time?
I'm late to everything. I have an issue with it. I don't know, like, my dogs don't believe in time. My dogs don't, you know, they don't look at a clock, and they live a great life. I believe in entropy, and I believe, you know, certain organisms are designed for greater levels of entropy. But I think to sit around and look at a clock is maybe not the best way to live life, because I don't think life was born from a clock. Life created time. It's something we made up, like a lot of things. We've made up a lot of things really in life, and I think we've all chosen to play along because it kind of makes civilization a little bit more ordered in a lot of ways. But there's certain aspects of it when you really break it down to it, kind of like time and money and many other things in life. We kind of just made them up. When we decide to stop believing in them, they instantly become non-existent. So they're really just constructs of our mind. They're not a real thing. And I guess that's why I'm fascinated by music, because it's actually not real matter either, but it actually is a real thing. And it does something extremely real to human beings. So I tend to stay more focused on things like that. And I think time can be a real toxic thing, because I think it's the your worst enemy is the voice inside of you that tells you you're running out of time. I think that
It's
is
true.
like the killer of all creativity. I actually heard that said somewhere, I can't remember, but and I firmly believe that. I think that articulates what I've kind of been thinking about time all along. We have seasons that are evident with our natural cycles, but like I said, just staring at a clock going around, I think could be a waste of life, and it could really affect the impact and the choices you make in life.
As a songwriter, Sam Hunt once said that writing "We Are Tonight" for Billy Currington was a song that kept his career alive when he really needed the money and confidence. Is there a song or an artist like that for you, for a song that you've written that got picked up by like a Tim McGraw or something? Is there one that you felt kind of saved you at a time where you needed it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to have artists other songs. I wrote this song called "Make It a Good One" with Brothers Osborne, and I was just extremely proud when that came out. It really put a lot of wind in my sails, and they're actually the first band to ever take me on tour as an artist too. So they shout out and love to my boys, Brothers Osborne. Like, they were like the first believers in the artist circuit of anything that I was doing. But we met actually in the writing room, like writing for their stuff. I was a staff writer, and we were sitting, it was our first song we were ever had ever written, and we just kind of got to hanging out. We actually started writing this other song. I don't remember what it was called. Obviously it wasn't that good if I don't remember what it was called. And I don't think either of us really knew where it was going. And my sister called, and she didn't call during the day very often. And I was like, that's interesting. And then she also texted me, "Call me back now." And I was like, oh shit. I was like, boys, I gotta step out real quick. And I walked out, and she said, "I'm, dad's at the doctor right now, and he's telling me a lot of really bad things." And she's freaking out. She's really having a hard time, and she needed support. And here I am in the middle of this write, and we talk to each other, try to calm each other down, and he tells me about what my dad's going through, what the condition he has, and really, really scary. And she's like, he's about to do some more tests, and we don't know anything yet, but I'm really worried that it could be bad. And I'll let you know in the next like 45 minutes. We should get some results back from these scans he did. And okay, please just keep me posted. And we got back to like kind of, I was really distracted, and we got back to sort of writing a song, and mostly just kind of, and I was just shell shocked. I couldn't think about anything else. I was just kind of nervously existing in that room that day. And then I got a text 45 minutes later, and my sister said, "Make sure you're home for Thanksgiving this year." And I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was like, that's what It told me everything I needed to know. And, I was like, I think I need to leave this right. I don't know. I need to go home, whatever. And I remember John Osborne turned around. He's like, boys, I'm not sure if I'm feeling this idea we're working on. I don't know where we're going. And he's like, man, I had this like kind of, this chorus that I've been working on. I don't know what it is, but I wrote it the other night on the bus. And here it is. And it was this, make it a good one, make it a long one. If you're going to pour one, make it a strong one. It was basically, exactly what my dad would have said in that moment. Because he was going through like a hard time in that moment. So I didn't talk to him particularly. And, but yeah, I mean, that was his mentality, and the whole, theme of it, was, make life a good one because it is very short, and all that, became very apparent in that moment. But, for me to leave that room and not write a song, my dad would have said, like, don't you dare leave that room. And if you're going to stay, better make it a good one. And we did. And then when they put that out, that was like the song that, really meant so much to me because of just how it started. And then they took me on tour, like a year later, and then my whole life changed from that point forward.
Dude, I'm a big fan, man. I appreciate you and the music that you put out. I love this Gary song.
Well, I thank you, Gary, much, but I'm really excited to get Gary out there and celebrate perhaps some of the under-celebrated characters of our society that really kind of really hold it together. And I love you, Gary.
All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to talk about this interview here with Stephen Wilson Jr. What you got, man?
This was a fascinating listen. I mean, just an onion of an interview, I think. A lot of layers. Like, what was your big takeaway? What did you go home and tell your wife about when you got off the phone with Stephen Wilson Jr.?
First of all, I know you don't listen to my interviews because she doesn't anymore. She doesn't care. I was like, you have to listen to this guy because my wife is the smart one of us two of our family. And I was like, this guy, I was like, you should have interviewed him. This guy was like so in depth. I didn't even know where to begin. I started with the story of how he saw a memorial poster, but it confused me when I was talking to him because when he told me the story, I thought the song was going to be like sad or like a memorial song, but it's not really that. So it was throwing me off, and he has like a dry sense of humor. So that was throwing me off because I couldn't tell when he was trying to be funny and when he was for real.
He does. He's kind of a funny dude. And this is kind of my takeaway. Like, I saw this guy coming, Stephen Wilson Jr. Like, he kind of reminds you of a certain type of country artist that kind of comes in. About once every 5 years, we get this guy who sort of comes in, drops like a really thought-provoking song, is like a little weird and like hard to talk to. And you, like, you don't, like, don't, they don't seem to have any sort of, and again, this isn't Stephen, this is sort of that trope. They don't have like a sense of how normal people talk in like the mainstream and like how to do a good interview that sort of people will react to who maybe aren't as deep.
Yeah.
And I was putting that on Stephen before I heard this interview. That's not what he is. Like, he is a really deep, smart guy, but he also understands kind of like how like normal people talk. Like, he would be able to talk sports, I feel like, if you needed him to.
Yeah. And like, I was trying to test the waters, but first of all, yeah, it wasn't an in-person, it was on the phone because he was doing whatever, but if he comes by next time, knowing what I know, because this is the second time I've interviewed him. The first time was at the CMA Awards backstage, and you only get like 3 minutes there. So I really didn't get to get in depth with him. We were just moving so quick. And this time was kind of a little bit more than that. But I feel like I had a funny question I thought written down that I was like not gonna ask, but then I was like, man, if I have more time, he would go with it. Because he used to be a biochemist in research and development for the Mars company, not that goes to Mars, but the food company, but the dog department, the dog food department of the Mars company. Yeah. So and he researched scientifically food and what is best for your dog and everything. I mean, I wanted to ask him if he gets pissed when he sees a fat dog. And I feel like I wasn't going to ask that in the beginning because I was like, no, this guy is like,
you could have.
Yeah, this guy's like over the top. I can't ask him that. But looking back, like, yeah, I definitely, but I knew I didn't have a lot of time, so I didn't want to waste any on that. But if he comes back, like, I feel like he could go 5 minutes on a fat dog, you know? I feel like that's just his deal.
And it would be interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I have a question for you, Bill, based off that, but you're kind of getting to what my favorite part of the interview was, where he refers to himself as a recovering scientist, and then he quickly breaks down how he started to think of Gary as this subspecies of human, and it doesn't sound nerdy. It really sort of explains the song, how he's thinking of the Garys out there who can kind of fix things. There's a real Bruce Springsteen sort of vibe to that message that relates.
Yeah.
That was really interesting to me.
Yeah, and I just wonder what's going to happen. Like, what's going to happen with his trajectory? Like, I feel like country music could be, you know, accepting of it, but I also feel like it could go over everyone's head, and I hope it doesn't, you know. But I think that he aligns with the Brothers Osborne, you know, as we heard in the interview, the Brothers Osborne's in country music as far as performing, and we know that he's a successful songwriter that can write, you know, pop country hits. So I think that as long as people give him the chance, which I think his debut at the CMA Awards singing Stand By Me, I think caught enough attention. So I think as long as people give him a chance, I think there's some quality here that would be unexpected. Like, I thought Gary was going to be some, first of all, I thought it stood for something like G-A-R-Y, like good at.
Oh, like an acronym.
Yeah. And then when I was like, oh, that's not it. And then I thought it was going to be about a guy that, like his dad or something, you know. And then there's like you said, there's so many onions to even that song. Like, I'm like, this is a funny. But then I was like, wow, this is true. And then I started getting worried. I'm like, what is going to happen when there's no more Garys?
I was listening to you, but I was also trying to think who he reminds me of. And this is kind of the question I've been asking myself really since I met him or was first introduced to his music. Like, who is like the artist that, and I think I have it. And I want you to think about this for a second before responding. But Stephen Wilson Jr. in a lot of ways is a male Cam.
Okay, explain.
A lot of depth, not really pretty socially like adept, like good conversation, willing to have some deeper conversations, but can do it without leaving the room. Might be a little too smart for the mainstream, but I guess we'll wait and see here. And you know what I mean by that, right? Like, sometimes artists have songs that are just like too smart for the room.
Mm-hmm.
Cam has had those songs, and a lot of artists have. Ashley Monroe stands out as another one. But just has like an interesting point of view in some areas that you've never really given too much thought to, like time in this case.
Mine would be Chris Stapleton. He reminds me of Chris Stapleton, his voice, the songs, the depth, the power, the seriousness, the social aspect of when you talk to him. To me, he reminds me of a mix of, I would say, Chris Stapleton and the guy from Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor.
Okay. You know, to kind of pull back on Stephen Wilson Jr. a little bit, it's kind of interesting how they sort of were pretty strategic in terms of introducing him as an artist, right? Like, they didn't just drop this guy on us and say, here's Stephen Wilson Jr. in this song, Gary. He's had some duets in the last couple of years with some really respected artists and some of them that really hit in the mainstream. A Haley Witters duet, Shaboozy, there's a great song, and of course that performance at the award show. Hardy, Dierks Bentley released a single with Stephen Wilson Jr. on it called Cold Beer Can. Chase Beckham, Warren Zeiders, and that's just sort of a few of it. So they've kind of been warming us up to the name for a little bit. And people sort of getting excited about him in the songwriting community as well. Obviously, the Brothers Osborne, he talks quite a bit about that. Like, kind of us getting used to seeing this sort of character on the stage and then maybe seeing a live show with him as a supporting act. And then they drop the single on us. So it's like there's some familiarity sort of worked into it. And had they not done that, I think it would have been a really unfamiliar situation and he would have had no chance at country radio.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And if you don't know, he's on the same record label as like Morgan Wallen, Miranda Lambert is now. That's Big Loud Records. And, you know, I think there's something to that as well. I think those guys are very strategic over there and they're handling large artists, but not very many artists. So I think they have the time to really think about this and they did a great job.
Is there a radio edit of the song? Because I think it's like 5 minutes plus, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I haven't seen it as of recording this. I have not seen the radio edit yet. I would assume so, but I don't know. We have had a couple. If you don't know, most radio hits are under 3 minutes nowadays.
Sure, yeah.
But we've had like "Wait in the Truck" was in the fours, I believe, or the late threes. There have been. Yeah, I just played a song on the radio not too long ago. Rascal Flatts, "Life Is a Highway." Of course, that's an older song, but that's in the mid to upper fours. But yeah, I don't know that I've seen a 5 minute song. I mean, it could happen, so I don't know. We'll have to see what the radio edit, if it takes any time off or not.
Well, I think there's a lot of solos in this song that might get cut if they wanted to do that. But, as people sort of listen to this, I really encourage you to go find it's labeled as like a live performance of this song. And that's not quite what it is. But there's a video on YouTube of him. It's kind of a lot of BTS from the stage. The performance has a live feel to it, and there is some live clips that are sort of synced up with it. You also get to see Steven sort of off stage, like he's an amateur boxer, like he used to do Golden Gloves types events way back when, and so you learn that about him.
That's cool.
The whole performance, though, is like you see why it's a really, really good live song.
Okay.
It really works on a live stage much more than it does just driving down the highway or, you know, getting the kids to school or whatever it is.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
I can't believe you didn't ask the punched in the face question. I thought for sure.
I had so much that I wanted to get to. I mean, in full transparency, like, so when they first connected me, they were like, you got 5 minutes, but then he couldn't hear me, and I couldn't hear him, but his people could hear me on the, it was a Zoom. His people could hear me, but it was something with his headphones, and it literally took like 4 to 5 minutes to figure out. So then they were like, all right, go ahead. I was like, oh man, I've already used 5 minutes. Like this is, I'm not going to have any time at all. So I just kept belting him out. But he, as you heard, his responses were very long. So I was like, I was afraid if I asked him like, one question about like getting punched in the face that could last, his answer could last 2 minutes. Right. And then I'd be like, oh man, I didn't even get to ask him about a song, you know? So I was like, that's all, again, we got to get him to come in and sit down, you know?
Yeah. 5-6 minutes. That's an injustice.
Yeah. For this guy, especially. Yeah. He's got a lot to say.
You gotta give him 10, 15, and let people get to know him a little bit. So I'm glad that you kind of stole that extra time. Otherwise, I'm not sure we're talking about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I wrapped it up a little bit after they told me to, but I think they felt it. You know, they let me keep going. So we got about 12 minutes in. But, hey, I appreciate you getting this far in to Taste of Country Nights on Demand. We got some big names that are going to be stopping by in the near future. Joe DiMassina, it will be coming in. We've got Jay DeMarcus from Rascal Flatts, along with his son, who is, I think, going to be the next member of Rascal Flatts. They're both coming in, and we have those episodes to look forward to as well. Take a search of us on the internet there. Look for Taste of Country Nights on demand, wherever you get your favorite podcasts.